Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm excited because Jesus is here and anything can happen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you know what's exciting about Christmas? It doesn't end for the Christian. I mean, you know, a lot of people are depressed because they say Christmas is done with. No, it's not. We're excited. Jesus is with us every single day. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He rose from the dead. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, I want to encourage you too, as we go into a new year, when you come to church, don't come to be a spectator. Don't come to be a spectator. Amen. See, this is one church among many that are started up like us that we don't entertain you. You come to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and what you put into it, you're going to feel a lot different when you leave because you also came and worshiped this Lord. Amen. See, it's not about us. It's about Him. And I'm not going to sing and dance for you. I might get excited. Praise the Lord. But I tell you what, we want to start a new year coming up here, and we're going into a new year. And I believe God has got something great for Crossfire Assembly. I always believe that. He didn't raise this up for nothing. He's got a purpose. He's got a plan. He's going to fulfill that plan in His time and in His way. Amen? Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. And Lord, again, we thank You for this time of being able to come together with brothers and sisters in Christ to worship You, the mighty God, the Creator God. Lord, we thank You and we praise You, Father. And Lord, I would ask that Your Holy Spirit would move through each one of us again this morning, Lord. Use us all for Your glory, Lord. Let us be a church, a light in this neighborhood, in this part of the metro, in this whole city. Lord, do a supernatural work, Father, within the body of believers here too, Lord, that when we go out, we just don't leave everything here, but we take the power, Your Holy Ghost power with us, Lord, as we walk out into a lost and dying world, Father. And Lord, let Your word move upon us and challenge us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, it was an exciting time, time of celebration anyway, wasn't it? Yes. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. A fantastic reality. A fantastic reality is the title of my message this morning. And the last few messages we've been looking at in Christmas is stories from various angles. The importance of the virgin birth and the response of Mary, even though she was a virgin. And today I'd like to look at Christmas story from an unlikely passage of Scripture. It's found in the book of Philippians. In the book of Philippians. So if you brought your Bibles, you can sure turn to that. And then please follow along with me as I read the Scripture this morning. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And no, Bob and I did not phone each other this morning, even though he read that last part for you this morning. Praise the Lord. But see, that doesn't sound much like a Christmas story, but it is. It's a story of the plan and the purpose of Christ coming to earth in the form of a baby. Christmas is the centerpiece of history. Even our calendar is dated from the reference point of Jesus Christ. God split history with the event of Christmas, didn't he? He did. Everything is either A.D. or B.C. He split history. And what's so special about Christmas? What's so special? Well, in Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 3, that answers it. And that's Paul's exhortation for us to be of humility or imitating Christ's humility. Listen, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Humility. Praise the Lord. And by the way, where it says bowels, it's used figuratively for the deep inner affections of the heart. You'll find it in Colossians 3:12 also. Just wanted to mention that. But we have the greatest explanation in the Bible of who Jesus Christ is and what he came to do. It is a fantastic reality. What is that reality? It's based on four things. Number one, God came to earth. Isn't that awesome? He came to earth. God came to earth. By this statement, I don't mean that God looked down from heaven and he could see all the people hurrying and scurrying around the earth. I'm not talking about that. No, God actually set his foot upon the earth. Our God, our creator, the creator of the universe. I was watching a program the other day on television of the galaxies and how fast they're moving away from Earth at high rate of speed. And there's multitudes of them out there, new ones that the science, they can't even see from Earth. But I mean, it's an unending space, and God created that. Just think, he created all of that. And he came to Earth and put his feet upon the ground. When the Allies landed on Normandy on D-Day, that was a big event, wasn't it? That was a real big event. But that is nothing compared to the news that God invaded Earth. Doesn't even compare. Our God, our Creator, came to Earth. It was big news when man landed on the moon and walked there, wasn't it? But it's bigger news that God landed on Earth and he walked here with you and I. Wow. I always hear people, maybe some of you have two trips to Israel, and there's something about being in that little nation and just being there, knowing that Jesus literally walked in all that area around there, and it just did something for them. They came back with a new appreciation for the scriptures and for the things of God. You see, Jesus Christ is God himself, and it was God that came to earth. And let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. There are people who would say that Jesus was a great man or a great prophet. There's only one problem with that. There's one problem with that. Jesus never claimed to be a prophet or a great man. He never did. He claimed to be God. Jesus Christ was God from eternity, the creator of all things. How else can you explain the statements that he made when he said in John chapter 15, verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. And how about John 14, 7? If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. From henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. In John 14, 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Or John 10:30, I and my Father are one. But here's a fantastic fact that Jesus didn't start out at the stable, did he? He didn't start there. He existed even before the dawn of creation. Theologians call it the preexistence of Christ. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, 15 and 17, who is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? The firstborn of every creature. Now, that's not in the sense that he ever came into existence from a prior condition or existence, because Jesus is creator of all things. And I'll go on. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Yes. Doesn't that get you excited? I get excited. That's who we were celebrating these past few days. Jesus Christ, our Creator, our Lord, our Savior, Our soon coming King. That's the one we're celebrating. That's the one we should be celebrating every day. That's the one we should be so excited that when this celebration season is all done, we go back into the workplace, back into the home, back into the churches, and we go and celebrate Jesus in our hearts because he's alive. He's real. He's here today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus simply said it this way. In John chapter 8, 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was I am. Whew. You can actually go to Genesis 15, 1 and look that up. And I believe that's talking about the pre-incarnate Christ. The vision. Way back then. But it's Jesus. See, God came to earth, but that's not all. That's not all. Number two, God became flesh and blood. He became flesh and blood. If you were God and were going to come to earth, how would you do it? Would you become human? Would you become as a baby? See, that's how God did it. Amazing. Look at Philippians again in Philippians 2:7, it says, but made himself of no reputation. That's talking about he emptied himself. He emptied himself and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. How different men are than what Jesus was in is. Because when they come on the scene, they want to have a big fanfare. They want everybody to recognize him. How wonderful they are, but not Jesus. He took on no reputation. See, the reality of Christmas was that Jesus Christ was a real man, flesh and blood, bones and hair, just like you and I. You can relate with that, can't you? Well, I still can, even though I don't have as much. He was a real person. He was not a myth. He was not a fable. It's more than a nice story. See, a lot of people think Christmas time's a story, but it's more than that. The reality is that God came to earth and God became a human man. In the Gospel of John, it says in John chapter 1, verses 1 and verses 14, verse 14, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, when God became flesh and blood, he became like us. He became like us. And how is Jesus like us? I think there's at least four ways here. Number one, he was born like us. He was born like us. He came into the world like billions of other babies that are born. And I was thinking about the angels. I wonder if they're saying, what is God doing? They see him in his all majesty, and here he's making himself coming to earth as a little baby. No flashy entrance to let the world know he's there. He just comes in the middle of the night in a stable in Bethlehem. Not born to rich parents. Not born in a palace. He was born in humble surroundings. He was 100% God and 100% man. He became as a common man, yet he was God in human form. He was born like us. And then also, number two, he grew like us. He grew like us. Luke chapter 2:52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And after he was born, he went through the normal growing processes. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have gone to school with Jesus? Could you imagine that? You know, you would know that he was a little bit different, but would you believe that he was God? That must have been some experience, huh? Something must have been going on, I don't know. Very little is known of the childhood of the years of Jesus, yet I don't think that he boasted of himself or that he was special. I don't believe that. From all outward appearance, he appeared as a typical young man. And number three, he was tempted like us. In Hebrews, it says in chapter 4, verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like us as we are, yet without sin. He could not sin. He was God. But he was tempted in all points. Jesus experienced the same pressure that you and I do, the same temptations and desires and drives. He was tested and proved in every way. And this is important because he can relate to you when you're struggling. Did you know that? Whatever you're going through, you can go to Jesus like we sang the song here. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. We're too busy going around telling everybody else, and they can't do nothing for us in many things that we walk through in earth, but we can go to Jesus and we can tell him, and Jesus will totally understand. He's God. Tell it to Jesus. You know, that's been around for a long time, but the message is so awesome. Tell it to Jesus. You know, he suffered like us. He felt pain. He felt disappointment. He got tired and fatigued. He felt lonely at times. Can you imagine being lonely? The whole world rejected him. He grieved. Can you see Jesus? He cried. When you are crying and your heart is aching and it's full of hurt and loneliness and pain and rejection and whatever is going on with inside of you and your tears are flowing out, you can tell it to Jesus. Because, see, Jesus wept. He knows what it's like. He knows the hurt, the pain, the suffering. He grieved. He cried. He was human. And at one time he said in Matthew chapter 26, verse 38, "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." That is Jesus crying out. He knew what it was to feel pain. He can relate to your pain. He can relate to your problems. He can relate to your pressures. He was God, but he became man. Jesus became what we are so we can become what he is. And that's the reality of Christmas. And next, Jesus came with a purpose. What was that purpose? It says in Philippians again, verse 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." See, Jesus didn't stay in a manger. The world wants to keep him in that manger out there. They want to keep him in there, that little innocent baby. That's where they want him. But he didn't stay there. He went to a cross. He went to a cross and voluntarily he laid down his life for you and I and the whole world. That's what he did. Why? I think there's two reasons. First, to demonstrate God's love to us and pay for our sins. And let's look at each of these separately. Jesus died, number one, to demonstrate God's love to us. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." His motivation was love. If you want to know how much God loves you, look at that cross. Look at a cross. Look at the cross. And a lot of people may give their life for their friends or their family or their children, but the Bible says that God gave his life for us when we were rejecting him and rebelling against him. And when we were still sinners before we even knew him, before we were even born, he gave his life for us. What a God. What a God. I'm always still marvel when I'll read things that it'll talk about this Christian left Christianity to follow Muhammad. Doesn't make sense to me. Why would you leave a loving God to go for a hateful dead God? Secondly, to pay for our sins. When you break a law, you've got to pay a penalty, don't you? When you break man's law, you pay man's penalty. When you break God's laws, you pay God's penalties. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's what we celebrated, the gift of God, Jesus. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:24, who is his own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Somehow, what he did 2,000 years ago can make a difference in my life right here and now. I don't know how, but he does. I can be completely forgiven for everything I've ever done wrong or ever will do through the blood of Jesus, the blood that ran down that cross, through what Jesus did. In fact, Jesus gave up all the glory of heaven. He became a human being. He became a little baby. He gave it all up. He grew up with pains and pressures and temptations. He died on a cross in order that I could be forgiven and you could be forgiven. What an awesome God. What an awesome God. That's why I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed to carry that word out into a dying world. When the world's not ashamed to tell me their filth, I'm sure not ashamed of telling them about someone who will forgive them of that filth, because he forgave me of my filth. Jesus did that. That's the reality. That's the fantastic reality. But here's another reality. Jesus is Lord. And Bob, you were out when I said it. I did not call you this morning. You did not call me. You did not Facebook me. You did not text me. We'll let the Holy Spirit be the one that guides us. And I believe you confirmed part of my message this morning by what you said. Jesus is Lord. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, listen now, not the name Jesus, it says in here, that at the name of Jesus, not the name Jesus in and of itself, but the name given to him, that of Lord. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All the mockery, all the anger, all the bitterness, and all the hatred spewed at our Lord, even today in the world we live, one day they have to bow before him. One day they have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it's better to do it now than it's going to be when they're forced to do it. Folks, the cross is not the end of the story. This is not the end. He rose from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. And that's, I'll tell you what, we're waiting for our Lord right now. He may come today for his church. We don't know. He might. But this is a fact. But there's another fact before him. Every knee will bow. Every knee. Folks, I don't care if you're Presbyterian or Pentecostal. I don't care if you're Baptist or Buddhist. I don't care if you're an Anglican or an atheist. And I don't care if you're independent or Islam. And I don't care if you're a Jehovah's Witness or a Jew. The scripture speaks plain. Every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. Why? Why? It's simple. Jesus is Lord. And he shall return to judge the world. But look deeper into that verse. Not only will every knee bow, but every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's a fact. When somebody, if I'm sharing the gospel and somebody gets sarcastic or smart, I just tell them, that's a fact you're going to. I don't care whether you believe it or not. You're going to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. And someday, everyone throughout history will be called on to acknowledge that fact. Every nationality, every age group, every male, every female, every religion will be called on that day to say Jesus is Lord. And all the politicians will be there, by the way. They're going to be there. And they will say, Jesus is Lord. And all the rock stars, by the way, they're going to be there. and they're going to say, Jesus is Lord. And everyone will admit, they will admit it, that Jesus is Lord. What a day that's going to be when the world will say Jesus is Lord. The question is not, will you admit that Jesus is Lord? The question is, when will you admit that Jesus is Lord? When will you do it? I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning pretty much. But I tell you what, we still need to even keep that in our own hearts and our own thoughts. Because see, when you and I carry that out to our loved ones, when we carry that, if they have not said Jesus Christ is Lord of their lives and made that commitment, we need to carry that out and share that with them before it's too late. I don't want my loved ones having to stand rebelliously trying to resist and being forced to say, but I want them to do it a voluntarily way. And I want to invite them while I'm alive to surrender to Jesus and say that Jesus is Lord. See, you can either admit it now in love and honor and respect, or you will admit it later. And you know something? We have a responsibility, everyone in here that has already confessed Jesus Christ is Lord. You and I have a responsibility to tell our loved ones and our friends and our neighbors when we have opportunities that Jesus is Lord, and we need to share the good news of Jesus Christ before it's too late. You can either admit it now in love and honor and respect, or you'll admit it later. We can tell them that. But we also need to remind ourselves that Jesus is Lord. Many times we're leaky vessels. We kind of get away from realizing that who's Lord of my life? Who's in control of every aspect of my life? Because life can be so hard, so vicious sometimes, that you lose the perspective that Jesus is Lord. And it might be a healthy thing every morning possibly to wake up and say, Jesus is Lord of my day. He's Lord of my life. He's Lord. Lord, you're Lord of all my circumstances that I'm facing today. You're Lord of everything that's going on with inside my body if it's full of disease. And we need to remember that Jesus is Lord. Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That might be a good scripture reading for at your Christmas parties. That might be a real good one. And that might be a good one to read anytime. See, the greatest need in the world today is the need to admit that Jesus is Lord. What does it mean to admit that Jesus is Lord? What's it mean to you? What's it mean? Acknowledge that he is really God. Understand that he is everything under control. He is not shocked by anything that's going on in your life, my life, or within the world today. He's not shocked. And it means to commit all my life to him. Not a portion of it. Not a little bit here and a little bit there, but God wants all of it. Not 99.99%. He wants 100%. See, when he has all of us, he can do so much greater work within us because we're more open to him all the time, aren't we? He calls the shots because he's God and he is Lord. He has come to earth as a baby, but he grew up a man. He died for me and he rose for me. And if I trust him, he will take care of me. Trust in him, and he'll take care of you also. Let's all stand and bow our heads, please. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. A fantastic reality, people. That's the Christmas story. Another way to look at it, but that's the Christmas story. Jesus is Lord. Holy Spirit, speak through us today, Father. Holy Spirit, move through us today. Holy Spirit, convict our hearts today. Lord, with a new year coming, Father, with so many changes happening within the world, even changes within our homes, we don't know what's going to happen. We have no idea, Lord, but we want to confess from our lips that Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of tomorrow, so I can face tomorrow. And how many in here would agree with me that let's just raise our hands to the Lord and tell him this morning, you are Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you in every area of my life. I surrender all to you. I put it in your hands, Lord. All the difficult things of my life, I put them within your hands, within you, Lord, for you are Lord. Jesus, you came to earth and you was born as a babe and you grew up as a man, but you're still 100% God. And you died on that cross for our sins, Father, and you shed your precious blood. And Lord, we receive that by faith and we walk in it today. We walk in it tomorrow. We walk in it till the sound of the trumpet. And now, Lord, I thank you again for this day. And Lord, I pray that your hand of grace and mercy be upon each home that's represented here this day, that you would meet the needs of the people. And Lord, whatever trial, whatever struggle they may be walking through, Lord, let them know that you are in control. And they just need trust you as I need to trust you in all things, Father. It's easy to take things back, but Lord, we give them to you and we leave them with you because you are Lord. And Lord, I pray you touch each home. And Lord, as all the blessings like the song we sang today, thank you, Lord. Help us to leave this morning with a thankful heart for what Jesus did. Coming to earth. And dying on a cross. We thank you, Lord. And we praise you. We glorify you, Lord. And those that are not here today, Lord, protect and bless them and watch over them, Father. And we thank you and we praise you. And Father, we're excited. We're excited with expectation that when we come back together, what you are going to be continuing to do in our lives and within this church. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. The Lord bless you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Have some good fellowship. Encourage somebody today.